Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We've got a gentleman sitting in front of us that has a t-shirt that I've never seen before that says, grow things. I like that.
I do too. And Stephen is very famous for his t-shirts. Right. It's Stephen Wells from the Austin Hospital. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Jane.
Are you famous for your t-shirts?
I like having a bit of fun with some of the t-shirts and particularly wearing one like this around the hospital just to kind of change people's perception of what you need to wear in a hospital and go, oh, yes,
grow things.
Absolutely.
Tell people what you do. I've said a little while ago that you're a nurse as well as a horticultural therapist, meaning
correct,
a gardener, basically, who does
yes,
good things around this amazing hospital, the Austin.
Yes, so I work at Austin Health, work across all three campuses that we have there, but work as a nurse with patients that have got an acquired brain injury. It's a pretty challenging time for them.
What, from a car accident or falling off a ladder or something?
Generally, yeah, we don't get the road vehicle accidents. We tend to get a whole lot of everything else.
All right.
Throw into that a few people that might have fallen off ladders, things like that, hit head and had a pretty traumatic injury. So some, yeah, interesting situations there. But I also work as a horticultural therapist, work with patients out in the garden as part of their rehab.
What an interesting life.
And then I work as a gardens project officer across all the campuses, right, looking at ways to increase gardens for the benefits of our patients.
So you get some fantastic and rewarding work inside and out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very humbling and experience and gives a very interesting perspective on life when you get to see the mixture of all those things.
Mm. The Austin, of course, is, well, it's got the old building that used to be the rehab for the soldiers that came back from the war.
Yes.
And that's just a very clunky old building. I don't mean to be rude about
but
it's a clunky old building.
Old architecture.
Yeah, and it's got these little sort of quirky areas that Stephen has done as gardens that have come up just beautifully. Perhaps describe the labyrinth garden.
Yeah, so that was one that was a fantastic garden. It's about, good 16, 18 metres wide, mm-hmm, circle, and it's a beautiful big flat area that Simon Normand, a talented guy, has designed and constructed, and then we've landscaped it around that with some indigenous planting.
What was there before?
Just a lawn area.
Oh, right.
But sort of pretty nothing.
Yeah,
you look at it and go,
oh,
this is not terrible.
You've seen an opportunity to go.
Well, yeah, this
it.
Was something. This particular project was something that had actually been born out of a conversation with Rob, who is our Veterans Liaison Officer. He's chatting with an older gent on the palliative care ward, and he said one day, oh, wouldn't it be great to have a labyrinth here?
And but explain what a labyrinth is. It's like a maze,
yes,
but so, with something a little bit quirky about it.
Yeah, so in the so basically it's a maze, but it's flat. So people kind of get a bit mixed up and think that it's, you know, hidden and you've got areas where you get lost, whereas this is a deliberate entrance and you walk the path. Starts in one space, but you don't just automatically move into the middle.
Right, so you know exactly where you're going.
Yeah, so you can see the centre spot.
Yeah.
You actually walk in a circular, and it sort of loops back, and then gets into the centre, and is quite an interesting quirk of construction that wasn't the intention, but right in the centre, if you stand and you speak, you get this beautiful little echo, because there's a nice little low wall around it.
How's that?
And it's very clever.
Absolutely amazing. But the intent of it was to provide a nice healing meditative space.
Yes.
For people to wander in and just take their time to
and
reflect.
And do the patients use it a lot?
There are many patients that go out. Certainly some of the nursing staff will take out some of the patients from the aged
things,
care
yep,
ward as well.
But I would imagine a lot of people who go and visit patients need a little bit of
yes,
space when they come out, yes, and go, let me breathe, please.
Absolutely. And I can reassure you that, you know, as much as I'm creating gardens for the patients,
yeah,
they are just as much important for their families, their yes, relatives, their visitors. And the staff as well, because, you know, unless you've, fortunately, if you're not needed to go to hospital, that's a great thing.
Mm.
But for many that do go, you would understand and appreciate that it's a pretty stressful time.
It is.
And it's, you know, just amazing to see the difference that
the
gardens
can make. We all know hospitals are there, and we all know what they...
And how wonderful they are.
How wonderful they are. And all, we all know how they feel and how they smell. But, you know, you get if you have to get... If you go back to one as a visitor, it's quite confronting,
it
too.
Is,
it is.
Yeah.
It is. And so that's really the exciting thing about the horticulture. Cultural work that I do is actually trying to change that perception.
Mm. Well, tell Kevin about what you've done recently with the acute, what do you call them, psychiatric patients.
Yeah, so there's a couple of wards we've got. One's the acute psychiatric unit and one's the secure extended care unit. So one's the short-term acute ward. And the other one is the more longer term. You know, they can be, initial ward can be there for up to sort of 3 weeks-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other ward, they can be up there for up to 6 months. And
right.
It's getting people well again to then go back out into the community.
Mm.
And they approached me and said, hey, look, we've got some grant money that we'd like to use towards creating a garden space and improving that. And that's been a couple of projects we've really had a lot of fun with over the last year and installed. And
it's in.
Yeah, I went to see it. It's fantastic.
It?
It's this whole sort of.
Oh my goodness!
So you can see
this started out as
a
rotten piece of land
with weeds,
with nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
Weeds,
yeah.
For those at home, you can, if you pictured a large courtyard that's probably about 10 by 10 meters, if a bit bigger, but enclosed with a nearly 4 meter high wall that's painted with terracotta brown. Mm. And a rundown garden in that space that had been previously loved before but got forgotten and lost. So the team there were pretty keen to change that into a productive garden space, but also a space for some meditation and also just to change the whole aspect of that use.
So there's little patches of trees with seats, and there's a veggie patch, there's a tropical sort of look to the whole thing, and it's a very remarkable garden.
And on the walls, you've got a couple of messages as well, which the one I like here is, sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit.
Yes.
And
that's
a photo
can see
of you there,
yeah,
Jane.
Because I went out for the opening of it, and I just love that. I like that little saying, sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit.
That's very good. Yeah. Well, how long did that take to do?
That was probably over a few months that we actually planted that up, got the walls painted and got some furniture in there and some raised beds. And it's been fantastic to hear, because I spent a bit of time chatting with the nursing staff and some of the patients, just to hear what they were interested in and what they wanted. And then we developed the garden from there.
All right. All of the Austin Hospital, what a magnificent
effort. It's wonderful.
Effort, yeah.
Will you stay around and answer some calls and things?
Love to.
Because we've got, you know, a few calls to answer, and people might like to ring in and say hello to you.
Yeah, certainly.
They might have seen your work on the TV or on the newspaper or whatever. It'd be terrific.
Wonderful.
All right, 96900 693, 96900 693. Give us a call. You can say hello to Jane and also speak to Stephen, Gardens and Ground Project Officer for the Austin Hospital. And our guest this morning, Stephen Wells, Gardens and Grounds Project Officer for the Austin Hospital. We've heard about the new garden space he has created. Good morning, Madonna.
Oh, good morning.
Go ahead.
I'm very interested in the labyrinth. I have actually organised labyrinth walks for an organisation here called the School of Philosophy, and I got Emily Simpson over last year to give us a talk on labyrinths. And I was just interested in what the impact of the labyrinth has been on patients at the Austin Hospital.
Good question.
Hi, Madonna. Lovely to hear you ask about that, because it's been a wonderful thing. So at this labyrinth is located at our Repack campus, which is the one up in Heidelberg, and we're pretty excited that that garden, that labyrinth, was actually included in the Labyrinth Society's World Labyrinth Day walks, and which was fantastic. And it's one of those interesting spaces where it would be different things for different people. So for some of the patients, some of the comments that I've heard back from them are around the aspect of it being a nice calming, meditative sort of aspect for them, where they can actually just come and ponder on their thoughts, whatever they're mulling over, or their concerns, or because I know some people, they might actually use it as a you know, in times of stress, but others might be using it as a meditative, calming or preparation kind of thing, as in to think about a situation they're having to deal with.
Yeah, maybe a place to go before you go into the hospital.
Yeah, certainly.
Yes.
And wonderfully, I saw a lady walking her young child in a pusher. Hmm. She was there early for an appointment and was walking the labyrinth just to before she headed in.
And what about plants? You've got the acute psychiatric unit at Garden.
Yes.
What about plants within that? Do they make a difference to the patients?
Yeah, certainly. And those environments have their own challenges, just in regards to safety. And, you know, you're not wanting to put plants in that might cause any issues, or maybe, you know, be something that could be harmful and danger to them or others in any moment. So we that particular one on the acute ward, and same with the secure ward that we had there, they've had some fantastic opportunities to put in some herbs and some other veggies, as well as some other more. You've got to be very careful about what trees you put in regards to safety. But the exciting thing with that secure extended care unit we had was that one of the nurses that works on that ward is actually has been a chef. And they're now starting to do cooking with the patients as a special program.
And using the herbs in the garden. Fantastic.
And then start to work out what they need to plant in order to then pick and cook.
Madonna, thank you for your call. You've got a $50 gift voucher to spend at Garden World. Garden World, they have one of the biggest ranges of plants in Australia. Thank you for your good work and a lovely question. Hello, Kathleen.
Oh, hello, Kevin.
Yes.
And hello, Jane.
Hello, Kathleen. And we've got Stephen here as well.
Oh, hello, Stephen.
Hello.
How can we help you?
Jane and Kevin,
yeah.
I've got an almond tree and I'd like to know when you pick the almonds off it.
Oh, when you see the birds coming.
Yeah, well, I know, Jane.
Preferably just before them.
Yeah.
The corella was over there this morning eyeing it off. So
get in before the corella gets in.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
But one of them was split, so I thought, I'll pick that off.
Good.
You know, and when I opened it, I mean, it's still green, you know, the greeny furry look on the outside.
Yes.
But inside, it looks like an almond, but it's not quite there. Part of it's brown and the other part's
leave it a little, if you can, just a little bit longer then.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do. But you're going to have to get in, you're going to have to watch it really carefully.
Yes. How big, Kathleen, how big's your almond tree? Is it bigger, is it small enough that you can put a cover over it? Or
look, last year we did and we didn't have any almonds on it.
Right.
But this year we haven't bothered. And, of course, we've got more almonds on it.
And that's why the corella's there.
We netted the nectarine tree and that was successful. But
good.
We just feel it's a bit late to go putting a net on it.
Yeah, and it's a hard job, I can only tell you.
It is. It's just two oldies like us trying to do it.
Yes, and the corella's looking at you too and he's going,
Yes, watch that ladder. Might end up with the hospital.
Don't do that.
No.
All right, thank you, Kathleen. Good luck with the almonds. Good morning, Peter.
Oh, good morning to you all.
Yes.
Jane, I think I recall you saying once before, with passion fruit, once they start to go brown, you can actually pick them off and put them on the windowsill in the kitchen for them to ripen up. I wasn't sure whether I've got that
brown.
Right.
Brown? No, passion fruit don't sort of go brown, really. They go a deep purpley colour, blacky sort of colour even, blacky purple.
Well, it's deep purple, yeah.
Yeah.
So they should I leave them a bit longer?
Well, I would suggest, yes, if they're colouring up, if they're green, obviously you have to wait a while.
Yep.
But if they're colouring up nicely, just pick one and cut it open and see what the flesh inside is like. And then they will ripen a little bit more, as you said, put them into the fruit bowl or whatever and away they go.
Okay. Now, if I can be bold and ask another question.
Yes. Yeah.
I've grown some eggplants for the first time.
Yeah.
And they've got mauve flowers. Mm. So I'm not sure what I should do. Just leave them, or what? Is there anything I should be doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so if they've got the flowers there, Peter, they will be doing their thing and they'll start producing the actual fruit soon.
All right.
Is it a big eggplant that you've got, or one of those skinny long ones?
I was about half a metre high, and it's quite bushy and lots of flowers.
Excellent.
Good.
And I wasn't too sure whether it's something I should.
Yeah, there is something special you could be doing. It's like it's in the tomato family. It's in the Solanaceae family. So every time anyone sees a flower on, say, tomato or on your eggplant, just get a little matchbox-sized amount of potash. You probably hear me talking about potash a lot. Potash helps to set the fruit. when it has the flower. So if you put a little bit of potash around the eggplant, now that it's in flower, that will help it immensely. Okay?
Good. Thank
That's
you.
That's the thing to do.
Peter, for your call. Hello, Pat.
Good morning, all.
Hiya, Pat.
Fine, thanks. And you?
Good, good.
Good. Just an inquiry about kangaroo paw.
Mm-hmm.
When you could take a cutting and when you could replant it.
You won't be able to grow it from a cutting so much then.
Oh.
No, but if you've got a big bush of it, like a clump of it,
can dig it. Pretty healthy.
Good, you can dig it up.
Oh, okay.
Just get your spade, and a sharp spade, of course, and go straight through like a little piece of it. Yeah, and then
Like you'd do with an iris or something.
Exactly the same as an iris, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
And the only other thing I'd add to it is they can be a little bit temperamental, and they don't generally like a lot of disturbance to the root. So as Jane said, if you can get in with a nice sharp shovel and block, cut it out, and then don't tease the roots out when you're replanting it, but just then drop it into the spots that you're wanting it to go in the other parts of the garden, you have a greater success.
What colour is it, Pat? Have you got a...
Oh, there's a whole lot of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
I'm taking them from someone else's garden, actually.
Oh.
They're the best ones.
I tell you what, Pat, my Australia Day duty last Tuesday was to hand out to all the new citizens down at Torquay.
Oh, well, you did that.
Oh, it was just lovely. There was 13 new citizens from all over the place.
And what trees did you give?
Well, yes, it was my job to give them trees. And I said, would you like a kangaroo paw? Yes, please. They grab it, you know. Oh, they were so excited about the Australian native plants.
Isn't
it was
that
lovely.
Great?
They are wonderful.
All right, Pat. Hopefully we've helped you there. How would you like 2 tickets to the Blue Lotus Water Gardens, Pat?
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Yes, the beautiful gardens in Yarra Junction. $50 voucher to spend at the retail nursery as well. Congratulations. And thank you for your call here on The Big Backyard. Good morning, Mary.
Oh, hello, Kevin and Jane. My young rhubarb plant is a crowded mess of thin green stalks, and what I want to know is, do I twist out lots of those stalks to give the rest better growing conditions, and also, have I been overfeeding it?
No, you can't. It's pretty hard to overfeed a rhubarb. In fact, look,
they're gross feeders, aren't they?
They are, and you've probably got lots of leaf. You know, all the foliage is very big.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I would definitely get in and just as you said, you're doing it right. Twist the stems from the bottom, and use them. You can obviously use them. Don't use the rhubarb leaves though, because they've got that. Alkaloid
I can use them even though they're green.
Yep, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem. And feed it up again with some cow manure or something like that and you'll be away.
Right. Well, could I ask about my potted cyclamens?
Yes, go ahead.
They're well watered and lots of nice green variegated leaves. In fact, one has come out again in flower. But when do I transplant them into the open garden and into bigger pots? And what do they require for soil and potting mix and shade?
I would do the cyclamen right now. If you've managed to get a cyclamen that has gone through its dormancy from last season, put it into a different pot, slightly bigger pot, not an enormous pot, but slightly bigger. Use some decent potting mix and keep the little corm just at the top. So you can just see the top of the corm on the top of the potting mix. And if you're going to put it in the garden, get some, I just use the leafy, all that leafy sort of mulchy stuff. Do you do that, Stephen?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Nice bit of, it gives a bit of protection as well.
Yeah, that's very right. Good.
Thank you, Mary. So we have Stephen Wells here from the Austin Hospital Gardens and Ground Project Office. You've shown me some more photos of the gardens you have there. One from the Child Care Centre here and another one. The question I have, can people just come and look at these gardens or do you have to have something to do with the hospital?
No, certainly there's some of the gardens that we've done that are open to anyone to come and see. So some of them mentioned already, the Labyrinth, the Royal Talbot Rehab Centre, the Sensory Garden there is certainly one of the gardens as well. But there are some that are specifically inpatient centred areas which are only open for the patients to use just because of the context of where they are.
Sure.
But if people wandered along to the Royal Talbot, which is opposite,
the guide dogs?
Guide dogs, yeah. And they can go and have a look at that garden there, the Sensory Garden.
Yeah, so that's just at Yarra Boulevard in Kew, right on the edge of Kew there before the Fairfield. So certainly love people to come in and wander in there and just make themselves known to people just so that people know who they are wander through.
If you see a man walking around with a T-shirt that says Grow Things, Stephen's there. Good morning, Kevin.
Yes, good morning, Kevin and Jane. How are we?
Good, thank you.
Kevin.
Yes, Jane, I've got a lot of seed pods taken off a Gladiator tree. When could be the best time to plant the others, the tr- seed pods that I've taken off the tree.
They haven't split yet. Have they? What colour are they?
Well, they're still in there, like in their encasing, the pods.
Yeah, the pods. Well, I'm just wondering what colour the pods are, though.
Well, brown.
Ah, okay. So they haven't split?
No.
If you put them into a paper bag,
yep.
Plastic sweats too much, so put it in paper bag and put them on the windowsill of your car where it gets hot, and you'll find that those pods will split open.
Yep.
Some of them you even hear them popping, you know, things like sweet peas and wattles and that kind of thing, they actually explode. But the Gleditsia seed pods, they'll just open up and you'll find little black seeds in there. Oh, actually, not so little, they're quite large seed pods. And you can plant them immediately.
Yep.
But what I'd suggest is put them into a mug of hottish water.
Yep.
Doesn't have to be boiling, just warmish to hot water, and then leave them to soak overnight. The seed coat sort of swells up a little and becomes softer, and that means that the plants will they'll grow quite well. You'll germinate them well, Kevin.
Very nice. Good stuff. She knows what she's talking about, doesn't she, Stephen?
You knew that, though, Stephen.
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
You
knew that.
Good stuff.
Well, you know what
good
you're talking about, too.
Yeah.
She's a master.
How many plants do you have overall? I mean, it's a question I asked the guy from the Botanic Gardens a couple of weeks ago. But
yeah. Well, in the context of the gardens project, I know that I've planted over the last 4 years about 6,600 plants.
Wow!
Some of them have been other people have planted in as different projects, like the childcare centre. But I know that I keep tabs of all that so that we can actually say, that's how many. That's our focus, is to increase greenery around where we can.
Wow!
And
so
what's
a challenge?
What's worked best in a hospital sort of situation?
Well, some of the things that have worked really well are some of the natives, but also some of the succulents, some of the olive trees that we've put in, some of the courtyards. So a good mixture of tough, hardy ones.
Mm.
I've got to be tough for my wish list.
Yeah.
Let's take some more calls before 10 o'clock. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How can we help you?
Yeah, I have a tangelo that in the last 2 years I've got about a dozen flowers, and I'm just worried if it's the southern wind that's blowing the flowers off where I'm not getting fruit.
Oh, okay. How old is the tangelo? This is a tree tomato you're talking about, isn't it?
No, not a tangelo. Pomegranate, sorry.
Hang on. Now I've got all confused too. I'm talking about a tamarillo. Sorry, John. That's the you're talking about a what? A
tangelo, is it?
Was it a pomegranate?
Was it?
Pomegranate, yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
I got you confused. And then, it's a pomegranate. If the flowers are falling off, they shouldn't be, because pomegranates are tough. They come from...
They usually are. Is it in a windy spot, John?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I've got a subtly sideway, and the wind comes straight up the side fence.
Is there, at this point in time, is there anything you can do to sort of have a bit of a temporary sort of screening just while they're setting fruit, or maybe think...
I had a privet there and I actually cut it down, you know.
Yep. And I guess, have you just cut that privet down recently?
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
so it's the wind damage.
So it's not that
damage.
Pomegranate hasn't been used to, hasn't grown there with that wind coming through regularly because it's been protected. So maybe think of putting something there temporarily at the moment, even if it's a screening of something.
Shade cloth or something.
For the moment, but maybe then think of something to replace the privet that that provided that bit of protection.
Yeah.
It's good.
Because pomegranates are tough things. They're wonderful.
Do you have any tamarillos in the garden?
Not in the garden, but I have had some in a couple of pots that we got given, which are wonderful.
Because if you walked in the front of the gardens, you could say, is this the way to Tamarillo? Good morning.
Pay that.
Right.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.